All right, let's take our Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. So far in our study of Samuel, we've seen several different things. Number one, we've seen that God directs history. These are out of Wiersbe's commentary to give him the glory that he deserves. God directs history. God answers prayer. God receives praise and worship. We've seen that God judges sin. And this morning, let's look at number five. God rewards faithfulness. God rewards faithfulness. This covers all of chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. And George, if you would read verses 1 through 5, and then I need a volunteer for 6 through 9. Chapter 3, 1 through 5. Who will read 6 through 9? All right, Miss Betty, go ahead. What's wrong? You look confused.
I thought we already did this.
What?
I thought we already did this.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Yeah, we did a cursory treatment of it. I read ahead. Gotcha. Yeah. I got just a few things I want to say about it.
To go?
Yeah, go ahead.
And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down.
And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place.
All right, thank you. God rewards faithfulness. Number one under that, and I didn't give you any of this outline because I didn't have it with me. An ear that hears, and I tweak this, the subpoints underneath God rewards faithfulness are my very own. Isn't that profound? An ear that hears, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. I wanted to go back because we, like I said, we got finished with the last chapter quicker than I thought, so I went ahead and we did just some surface commentary on verses 1 through 9. I want to talk about the lamp of God because there's confusion on that, and it looks like at first glance that there might be a contradiction in the Word of God. Now, let me ask you, are there any contradictions in the Word of God? Of course not. If there is an issue with a scripture or a particular doctrine, it's not the Word of God, it's us. There are no contradictions. So we are faulty in our interpretation. The hermeneutics is off just a little bit, okay? So we're going to look at this because normally when we think about the lamp of God, which was on the left side, it was on this side of the, it wasn't in the most holy place or the Holy of Holies, it was on the other side of the veil. You had the table of showbread, and then you had the lampstand, and you also had the altar of incense that was before the veil. Now, the lamp of God, of course, was a lampstand that had a one main, I think the Jews call it the menorah, right? It had one major stem, and then it had six branches that came off it, and there were little bowls on top of there, and the bowls were filled with green olive oil that was brought to the temple or to the tabernacle by the people. It was green olive oil. So what I want us to do is look at some of these passages that describe the candlestick, and I'll explain the supposed issue here. So if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 25, Exodus 25, and if someone would be so gracious to read verses 31 through 40. Exodus 25, 31 through 40. Bill, you want to read that? All right, go ahead, buddy.
You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered wood. Its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and flowers shall be of one piece. And six branches shall come out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of one side, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side. Three bowls shall be made like olive blossoms on one branch, with an ornamental knob and flower, and three bowls made like an olive blossom on the other branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower, and so forth, and six branches that come out of the lampstand. Which further do you want me to read?
40, through the end of chapter, yeah.
On the lampstand itself, four bowls shall be made like olive blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower. And there shall be a knob under the first two branches of the same, a knob under the second two branches of the same, and a knob under the third two branches of the same, according to the six branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece, all of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain.
All right, thank you. So that's a description of how the candlestick was to be made. And obviously it was quite ornate. It was beautiful. The details of the blossom, the almond blossoms, there's another word, I forget what it is. Some translations don't have knops, they have this other word, which means the outer part of the blossom. So, I mean, it was detailed, very detailed, very beautiful. All right, keep that in mind. That gives you a description of it. And turn to chapter 27. And look at verses 20 and 21. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, mercy seat on top of that, shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. And then write down, we're not going to look at it, but write down chapter 37, 17 through 24, which is much a repeat of Exodus 25. This, of course, was the only source of light in the tabernacle proper. One for the candlestick, there would be no light. There were no windows. You had the door coming in, which wasn't really a door, curtain, veil, whatever, curtain. The only source of light was the olive oil lamps or bowls that were lit up with unripe green olives, again, provided by the people. In Exodus chapter 30, in verse number 8, we read, and when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even. Now, we just read that it burned all the time, right? Here we see that Aaron is lighting at eventime. And he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. And then also Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. And verse number 2. Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn how often? But then look at verse 3. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from evening unto the morning. Now wait a minute. Didn't verse 2 say it burns all the time? And in verse 3, does it say burn all the time? It says from evening unto the morning before the Lord continually, it shall be a statute forever in your generations. And then verse 4, he shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. So we read in verse number 3, burn from evening to morning. Leviticus 24:2 and other verses say that the lamps burn continually. And so it looks like a contradiction. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, don't pretend to be. But sometimes it's essential that we do know certain words that will help us understand exactly why there appears to be a contradiction. The Hebrew word is tamid, T-A-M-I-D is a transliteration of it. It's a word that's usually translated continually or always. But, and that's when it's used as a noun, when it's used as an adjective or an adverb, a word of description, then it no longer means continually or always, it means regularly. Regularly. So, with that in mind, here in this context, it would mean, or could be translated, burn the lamps daily. Burn, instead of continually, burn the lamps daily, which would go along with the idea of burning the lamps instead of continually, burn the lamps regularly. So in verse 3 of Leviticus 24, we read in the KJV, continually is used. The lampstand can't burn during the hours of darkness and burn continually. Again, tamid doesn't mean continually, it means regularly. Does that make sense? Or did I? Because we went out in the weeds. Hope we didn't get any ticks out there, but we did. We just went out in the weeds. But I think it's important that we, because there does appear to be, in a casual reading of the scripture, a problem. But it's really not if we delve into the Hebrew. So now you guys are Hebrew scholars. You can tell all your friends that you now know Hebrew. One word. All right, so God reward. Any questions, comments? God rewards faithfulness, an ear that hears, and then be a will that obeys, verses 10 through 14, a will that obeys. Somebody want to read 10 through 14? Anybody? I can do it. All right, Rhonda, go ahead.
Themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever.
All right, thank you much. All right, we saw in verse number 4 that the Lord called Samuel. Then in verse number 6, he got called again. Samuel went, thought it was Eli. And then we read in verse number 7 that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, which speaks to the fact that he had never had, up to that point, a personal encounter with Jehovah God. He was not given any prophetic revelation. Then in verse 8, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel again. And then he went back to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And we mentioned that Eli was spiritually dull. But he finally got it. He perceived that the Lord had called the child. Obviously, Eli should have known sooner. And then in verse number 9, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. It shall be if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord. All caps, so it's Jehovah, Yahweh, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, but he added a Samuel. He doubled up on, he said, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, not as Eli had said. What did Eli say to say? He said, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel instead answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the construction of it in the Hebrew implies that Samuel answered with a view of obeying whatever the Lord was about to say to him. And so the Lord began to speak to Samuel. And as we read this, and as you notice when Rhonda read it, it sounds a lot like what the prophet had already told Eli. So the word of the Lord is given directly to Samuel, and it is in total agreement with what the prophet said. So it was like, Eli, if you had any doubts about what the prophet told you, the Lord has verified that through the new prophet Samuel. Samuel, of course, was the last judge, and he was also a prophet, and he was a priest. The only thing missing, he was never king. But he was a prophet, he was a priest, and he was the last judge. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. It's going to be a message of impending judgment on Eli's house. And that day will I perform against Eli all the things I have spoken concerning his house. And of course, he's speaking of the prophet, chapter 2, verses 27 through 36. Again, that message is confirmed. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever. So when the prophet spoke in the name of the Lord, it was the Lord that spoke, showing that the prophets had the authority of God to speak for God. And God himself said, that was me speaking. Nailing down the fact that God had put his hands upon certain men who would prophesy in the name of the Lord. And of course, remember what the Bible said, if it came true, that prophet was indeed from the Lord. But if it didn't come true, that supposed prophet was in a heap of trouble. So no one would just go around, you know, spouting off saying, yeah, the Lord told me to tell you so-and-so and so-and-so, and then it didn't come to pass. That person would be held accountable. For I have told him, verse 13, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. So Eli was held accountable for his son's transgressions because he knew about it and did nothing. He had the authority to pull his sons out of the priesthood because they were vile, vile men, lewd fellows of the baser sort. And he let it go. He just let it go. He didn't want the confrontation. Maybe he thought they wouldn't like him anymore. Parents today in church often do similar things in not speaking up when we should speak up. If our children step out of line in the things of God, we have an obligation. I don't care if they're grown or not. I don't care if they like us or not. We should let our children know, or our grandchildren, hey, you're dishonoring the Lord. You're disobeying God. Shouldn't just let it go. That's an awful thing to do, not only for our sakes, but especially for our children's sakes. So now Eli was going to pay the price, and so were his sons and the whole line, the whole branch of Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood would be impacted by this. Therefore have I sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. In Numbers chapter 15, I'm going to just read two verses there in Numbers. Numbers 15, verses 20 and 21. No, that ain't it. Let me see. I got it written in teeny print. I have Numbers 15. I wrote down the wrong verse. I know it shocks you that I would do that. I'm looking at the previous chapter to see if maybe I missed it by a chapter. What I wanted you to see is where there is no sacrifice for presumptuous sins, willful sins. Now, thankfully, because of the grace of Almighty God, when we get saved and we are washed in the blood of Jesus, how many of our sins are washed away? All of them. But back in the Old Testament, if you brought a sacrifice for sin and you were sinning intentionally, willfully, presumptuously, that sacrifice was not accepted by the Lord. So the Lord is saying here, Eli, it's too late. You've let it go too far. And so don't think you're going to bring a sacrifice and it's going to be taken care of. There is no sacrifice for your willful sin of ignoring the sins of your son. So both you and your boys are going to pay the ultimate price for your defiant, presumptuous sins. There is no atonement for that. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Samuel was obedient to Eli and to the Lord. He received a message of God's plans from the Lord himself. The Lord used this young teenager where he would not use the adults because the adults weren't listening to God, weren't paying any attention to God. But God said, I'm going to use this young boy who has shown himself faithful. And as I mentioned, of course, the message matched the one given to Eli by the prophet. And so Eli knew he was in a heap of trouble. Leads us to number five, God rewards faithfulness. An ear that hears, a will that obeys. Number three, a heart that is humble. A heart that is humble. If someone would like to read verses 15 through 18, I just read 15, but that's okay, read it again. 15 through 18. Becca, you wanted to do the last one. You want to do this one?
Yeah. All right, 15 through 18.
Yep.
And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good.
All right, thank you. So, Eli, let's think of this. Young teenager, Samuel. Got a message directly from the Lord. What do you think would be the normal reaction of a teenager that had just heard directly from the Lord? Would he have just kept it in and not said anything to Eli? I mean, most anybody. If your quote-unquote spiritual boss, the high priest, did not hear a message from God, but you did, and you're a teenager. You go running in there and say, man, you're not going to believe this. I just heard from Yahweh. But he didn't. It showed his maturity, his respect for Eli, the office of high priest. So he didn't say a word. But Eli wanted to hear what God had said. Samuel had heard directly from the Lord. But even though he had heard, he still got up early and began to do the task that he was supposed to do. He didn't let it cause him to deviate from his responsibilities. He opened up the doors so people could come to sacrifice. And in Wiersbe's commentary, the Bible Exposition Commentary, page 296, I clipped this little paragraph out because I thought it was pretty awesome. He said, and I quote, this is Wiersbe, Samuel would have a ministry of opening doors for others. He opened the doors of the kingship to Saul, who failed to use it for God's glory, and also to David, who used his position to serve God and the people. Samuel established a school of the prophets and opened doors of ministry to the men God sent to him. He opened the doors to a new beginning for the nation of Israel that was at low ebb, both spiritually and politically, end of quote. I thought that was pretty awesome. So again, he didn't tell Eli anything until he was forced to, and then he let it all out. In verse 17, we have what's called in theological terms an imprecatory oath, where basically Eli said, you don't tell me what God told you, then I'm going to pray that everything that he said is going to happen to me is going to happen to you. And so Samuel told him everything, didn't hide a thing. And then Eli answered, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. So he yielded himself to God's will and purpose, knowing that it was too late for him. He just said, what God's going to do, God's going to do. Basically, he's got every right to do it. So an ear that hears, a will that obeys, a heart that is humble, and then D, a walk that was godly. A walk that was godly, if someone would read the last three verses, 19 through 21. All right, Leonard, go ahead. 19 through 21.
So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, where the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in the Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek.
All right, that's good. You gave us extra. Now you're not going to get paid for that. All right, thank you, Leonard. All right, a walk that is godly. So again, Samuel told Eli everything. In verse number 19, first part of the verse, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. Remember back in chapter 2, verse number 21, we read, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. And then chapter 3 and verse number 19, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. So the second time was added the words, the Lord was with him. God would bless and use Samuel. Unlike the other judges, Samuel's words reached the whole nation. Remember, the other judges, there were pockets of Israel that heard. In this case, Samuel reached the entire nation. The last part of verse 20 could be translated this way. It was well established in the land that Samuel was God's spokesman. The word established in the KJV could be translated confirmed. So it was obvious to the whole nation that Samuel was God's man. And again, he's just a teenager. Kind of reminds you of Daniel, doesn't it? Daniel was a young man, but yet was totally sold out to God. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. He revealed himself again. Israel would have a new beginning. There would be new challenges. There'd be new dangers. But God would bless and God would give the victory if they just listened to God and God's men. Questions, comments? Yes, sir.
What you're looking for there in Numbers is verses 30 and 31.
Thank you. Read them, Billy.
But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people. Because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be removed.
Now, I just tried to change the numbers with my thick black pen. So now I have Numbers 15, blob, blob. So I don't think that's going to help me. I'm going to see if I can. I tell you what. Getting old is not for the faint at heart, is it? Huh? All right. Thank you, Bill. Any questions? Any other questions or comments? All right. Now we'll go over the prayer list. Thank you, sir. Continue to pray for the church. I did get a hold of, we had a couple visit back on the 5th. And when we had the snow, he kind of got snowed in. He had to stay with his brother in Berryville in order to make it to work. So they weren't able to come on the 12th. And, of course, last week we didn't have church. So I contacted them yesterday, and they're going to come for church and stay for the meal. Brian and Bethany Cannon. So when you see a couple, I said young. I keep forgetting that I'm old, so everybody's young.
But
they were in their 50s, which to us that are in our 70s and 80s, they're like kids, you know. But anyway, they're supposed to come, and that'd be great. All right, continue to pray for the church. God will bless. God will give growth and salvation to souls. And continue to reach out, continue to invite, continue to pray, continue to believe. Our God is able. Pray for our nation. There's quite a whirlwind going on down in D.C. We got Superman in the White House, 78 years old, that runs circles around most human beings. A lot was accomplished in not even a week yet. Tomorrow's a week. So it's pretty amazing. Pray for safety, because I know the deep state is not pleased with what's going on. So pray for safety for our leaders. Pray for law enforcement, Israel and Ukraine. I got a feeling that's going to be settled really soon. Hurricane and fire victims. It's going to be a long time before the hurricane, all the damage will be rebuilt. It's going to take years, not months. And the fires in L.A., it's just unbelievable what was allowed to happen there. Kathy, again, pray she's doing well. Pray for Ruth, Rebecca Force's mom. I emailed or texted them again, got no reply. Pray for the grandson who has cancer. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for George's mom. She has surgery on Wednesday. It is cancer surgery, so pray. Pray for George's mom. Annadale, her health situation, surgery in March. Judy Shade, Tammy Riggleman needs a kidney. Bill, his kidneys and his blood pressure. Pray for Darlene, Gary's sister with leukemia down in Florida. Pray for Mark. God is still able to heal him if he so chooses. Pray for Rhonda. God will give her the strength she needs through all of this. And for Rhonda's mom in the nursing home. Talked to Ronnie this week. He got the bag off. The tube is out. And he's got his back brace back on. And he sounded good, sounded strong. And so we praise the Lord. Ronnie is doing well. Gary and Kathy's niece, Regina, was in the hospital. She is home, but she has a lesion on the brain that they're debating whether to have it removed or not. It's a real mess. Regina's husband is not well. He had a bad heart attack. And so pray for Regina and her husband. David and Yvonne's daughter, Rebecca, was in the hospital. She is out of the hospital. She had a serious infection, still needs our prayers. So pray for Rebecca. Mary's not feeling well this morning. She's home. Pray for her. And then Leonard told me that his cousin Larry's wife died on Wednesday. So pray for the family. And Lori has a doctor's appointment on Tuesday. Which doctor is that, Lori? You told me, but I forgot. This is the heart doctor?
Heart doctor. To make sure I still have a heart.
Oh, you have a very tender heart. Heart doctor, okay. I gotta go this week to the doctor, Dr. Hashem, and he's gonna tell me, in agreement with the heart doctor, that I am living with extreme obesity. I can't wait to hear what he's going to say about me being a fat man. But I have surpassed. I've set a new standard for weight. If you want to put it positively, things are looking up. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for our Lord who died upon that cross, paid our sin debt in full, and we now, because of his cleansing, his forgiveness, having redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us, we now have hope in Christ, and we know that one day, because of your grace and mercy, we will spend eternity with you. We praise you for that promise. We ask, Lord, that you bless our little church. Lord, we want to see people added to the church, and we want to see people saved and following you in baptism, being a part of our local family. So, Lord, please use us as we seek to tell others of your love and invite folks to church. Lord, we pray that you would work in the hearts of people and draw many to yourself. We pray for our nation. We thank you, Lord, for what we've seen the last week. We know there's much work to do, and we know if America is going to be saved, if you are going to spare our nation from destruction, you're going to have to do it. We thank you for the leaders that we have, some new ones that are doing a great job, but we know that ultimately you and you alone can change the human heart. And Lord, we need some folks saved. We need folks in our government to turn to you. We ask, Lord, that you would provide the needs for the hurricane victims, for the fire victims. Lord, this is a long, long-term situation. We pray that you'd break the hearts of those in leadership in California, that the crazy things they're doing that help contribute to the fires would stop, and they begin to think more of the people rather than certain critters that they're concerned about. Lord, we pray for Israel and Ukraine, that that conflict would end. We pray for Israel, Lord. We pray that you would give sweeping victory to that nation. We pray that that war would end. We thank you for the ones that are being released, but unfortunately there are many very evil men that are being released as well for the other side. So Lord, please work that out according to your will and purpose. Thank you that Kathy's doing well. We pray you continue to strengthen that knee and Lord, heal her and ease any pain and discomfort she's in. We pray for Ruth that you would heal her as only you can, and that grandson has cancer, Lord, we pray for healing for him. We pray for our missionaries that are preaching the word of God around this world. We pray that you would provide all their needs and God give them souls for their labor. We pray for George's mom who has surgery on Wednesday. We pray you'd guide the surgeon's hands. And we pray it would be successful, that all the cancer would be removed. And Lord, more importantly, we pray that she would turn her life over to you, Lord, that she would trust Christ as her Lord and Savior before it's too late. We pray you continue to watch over Annadale and give the doctors wisdom as they prepare for this procedure in March. She has various tests and things. We pray your will would be done there. We pray for Judy and encourage her heart and give her renewed strength physically and emotionally. We pray you provide that kidney for Tammy and strengthen Bill's kidneys. And I pray his blood pressure would be under control. We pray for Darlene, healing for her, if that would please you, Lord. We know you can, and for Mark. And we pray that you give Rhonda the strength she needs. Continue to take care of her mom as only you can. Thank you that Ronnie's doing well. We pray you continue to heal him and ease the pain in his back. We pray for Regina and her husband, healing for her and for him. And for Rebecca, David and Yvonne's daughter, Lord, please bring her back to full health. And please touch Mary's body and heal her as only you can. And we pray for the family, Leonard's cousin Larry, we pray for him and the family, and the loss of his wife, Lord. I don't know whether he's saved or lost, but if he's lost, draw him to Christ through this time of loss and other family members as well. And we pray for Lori that when she goes to the doctor that everything would check out well. We thank you, Lord, for the time we had already in Sunday school. We look forward to the next hour and then the fellowship around the table and the meeting this afternoon. Lord, may you be pleased with all that's said and done. We love you, Lord. We love your people. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the freedom we still enjoy in our nation to be able to come aside from the cares of this world and all the struggles and all the heartache and spend time with you and with your people. It's a great privilege and a blessing that many around the world would love to enjoy but can't. Help us, Lord, not to take it for granted, but to remember to always thank you and praise you for the blessings of life. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.